the most important thing I'll tell you in this type of scenario is everything is negotiable. And Travis County is a great example. Travis County has a pretrial intervention program. They also have a deferred prosecution program. It's similar, but the deferred prosecution program gives you the dismissal up front. So you enter into an agreement to do counseling, community service, and whatever else they want you to do over a year or 2 year period. But instead of waiting till the end of that period to get the dismissal, you get the dismissal up front. I've had success doing pretrial interventions outside of Travis County in explaining, hey, this is really gonna affect this professional for whatever reason. The other thing that's a good reminder that everything is negotiable, it may look bad and may cause licensing issues if it says, well, the case was dismissed because he's doing a pretrial intervention program. The prosecutor is not required to put the reason for the dismissal on the dismissal. He can just put in the interest of justice. So, you know, whatever it takes, you know, maybe you do an extra 6 months so they put in the interest of justice as opposed to for a pretrial intervention program. And, you know, making sure, and I think John hit the nail on the head, you need to make sure you have somebody you trust locally that understands, you know, all the ins and outs and has those relationships so that you can get that kind of extraordinary result for a person that also has licensing issues. And I'll say prosecutors generally are sensitive to extraordinary consequences for somebody that has a license. Like, I think a prosecutor has a vested interest in having good nurses out there. And so if we can save a good nurse, the prosecutor's usually gonna work with me.
A couple things. My viewpoint has always been a pretrial diversion, we need to try to find ways to give effect to those. The intended effect of them seems to be to wipe the slate clean for somebody who hasn't got an extensive amount of criminal history. And so as I'm looking at them from TDLR's perspective, what should we do? Generally, I lean towards, you know, let's give effect to this. The court saw fit, or the DA especially, the prosecutor saw fit to try to help them wipe the slate clean. So that's my tendency, is to assume that was what they wanted and give effect to that. But some, and Chapter 53, again, requires a conviction or a deferred. So I don't think that a pretrial intervention or deferred, if 53 is the only thing that applies, the only way that the license may be hurt, I don't think there's a downside to going into those programs. Again, look at the agency's laws and rules, look at the license's laws and rules, like in massage. The massage statute says a person's not eligible for a massage therapist license if they have pled guilty or nolo to an offense, been placed on deferred adjudication for an offense, or pled guilty, been convicted, and it has specific offenses that trigger that. This is a time to really parse those words and see how they line up or don't line up with what your client is looking at doing. I would think there's a difference between a pretrial diversion or intervention program that requires you to go into court and plead guilty versus the type of in-house confession that Joe was talking about, as far as whether it triggers our affirmative duty to act in those cases. So get down into the nitty-gritty, be certain about that. What about notification of the agency at this point? So you're considering the PTI, PTD. Is this a time to notify the agency without some explicit rule or something that jumps out at you that screams yes?
Again, unfortunately, it's a depends answer again, because it depends on what agency you're dealing with, because each agency has their own little nuances in how they deal with these sort of issues. And it also, the big kicker really is, again, relicensure. When that comes up, what's the question to ask? What do you have to expose there? Again, from my standpoint, it's better to be overly honest than to withhold. And so if in doubt, say yes. And expose, because I would rather the agency going, John, you didn't have to tell us this, versus, John, you should have told us this, because the consequences are dramatic for the individual licensee if they, again, are felt to be a liar.
So part of the fact pattern here was the case can be expunged. And let's say it has been expunged. Do you think that your client ought to be disclosing an offense? Let's say they're applying for the first time later on. They've already got the thing expunged. Should they say anything about it when they apply?
When someone tells me, oh, I got this case expunged, I'm really excited, I go, do you have a judge's order? Well, that's just what my defense attorney told me. So unless I actually see the expungement order, or I can get a copy of the order, I'm going to tell them to disclose. If I see the expungement order, I say, you don't have to disclose that. Now, of course, with fingerprinting that everybody is required to do, particularly on initial licensing, sometimes those processors or the agency that should have removed that from the database fails to do so. Then the board gets it and they go, oh, what's this? They pled guilty to something, or they got a deferred for something, or whatever. Then I just say, I understand, here's the expungement order. And every agency that I've ever dealt with across the state of Texas has been getting, oh, okay, we're fine with that. And never have had a problem with that. Everybody's been incredibly responsive. So make sure you get that expungement order in your hot little hand, because just relying on licensees thinking they know that they've been expunged is a recipe for disaster, because I've seen it go wrong too many times.
Here's another thing to watch out for.